Yeah, I know it. That's right. I wasn't planning to play Juanita Banana as the opening, although we might talk about Chiquita later in the night. But what I thought was happening was this.
Right from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 hours to spend together, kind of in a celebratory mood all the way around. Karen Reed was acquitted. All right. Now, why do I find that good? And who is Karen Reed? In some cases, I know some people are somewhat unaware of this trial. Everyone in Boston, of course, was rapidly paying attention to both of the trials, and we'll get there. We'll get to your calls as well. All right. So here is the deal. Karen Reed, and the easiest way to do this is to sort of go over the timeline first to explain this. Karen Reed was a woman who was involved with a man who happened to be a police officer. And shortly after midnight, January 29th, 2022, they, John O'Keefe, the police officer, and Karen Reed were together along with a group of friends to the Waterfall Bar and Grill in Massachusetts. And according to prosecutors, and by the way, this part, not only according to prosecutors, has been confirmed, Reed consumed some alcoholic beverages, as did pretty much everybody else. Reed drove to the drove O'Keefe to the home of Boston police officer Brian Albert. All right. Now, apparently that's where people from the bar were meeting up. Now, what happened after that is conjecture. And court documents, as far as that goes, brought up some text messages between Reed and O'Keefe, as well as voicemails. They clearly showed that this was a strained relationship. Even though they'd been together for a while and were close, this was strained. So here it is now, 4:23 in the morning, heavy snow is falling, and O'Keefe's niece, and O'Keefe, remember, he's the police officer, John O'Keefe, called Brian Albert's sister-in-law and a friend of O'Keefe's and said, well, Karen Reed is very distraught because O'Keefe did not come home. They were living together and was not answering his phone. And she's screaming into her phone, you know, John didn't come home. We had a fight. And so around that time, Karen Reed called another woman whose husband was friends of O'Keefe. And, you know, She's just beside herself, Karen is. Well, what if he's dead? What if a plow hit him? I don't remember anything from last night. We drank so much, I don't remember anything. Yeah, you know what's coming, don't you? Well, anyway, apparently Karen Reed and McCabe and a third woman go looking for O'Keefe. And prosecutors claim that Reed mentioned to the women that she had a crack in her taillight and wondered if she could have hit O'Keefe. Again, this is what the prosecutors are saying, and it's somewhat conjecture because there's absolutely no proof of any of this. 5 a.m, a surveillance camera at O'Keefe's house shows Reed's SUV coming extremely close to O'Keefe's SUV in the driveway. No taillight pieces were found or anything like that. And the defense said, well, she did strike the SUV, breaking the taillight, which provided an explanation for the damage. Of course, the prosecution said, well, no, it's because she ran over the guy. So 6 a.m, Reed sees O'Keefe lying in the snow right outside of Brian Albert's home where they were supposed to meet up. And an emergency responder termed her to be hysterical and inconsolable, and she repeatedly says, I hit him, I hit him. The defense, of course, is arguing that in fact, this is false and deceptive testimony. So there's nothing on tape about this, saying that the first responders gave false and deceptive testimony to the grand jury to indict Reed. Well, so here we have the end of the month, and prosecutors and defense are agreeing that at some point in the morning, O'Keefe was killed. And yes, someone Googled how long to die in the cold. Now, the sides disagree on when the search was made or, of course, who made it. Nothing like that. But at 6:24 in the morning after the body was found, a federal forensic expert determined the search for how long does it take to die in the cold was made at 2:27 in the morning. And, of course, here's the prosecutor saying, you know, she was, not only did she kill him, she was looking for, see how long, all that. And so we have police saying they found a broken cocktail glass and pieces of a taillight right at the scene. By the way, all of the evidence, not only is it circumstantial at best, but it is, and it's beyond plausible deniability. There's multiple sides to this, period. And so the autopsy is completed, and they rule that it's blunt impact injuries to the head and to hypothermia. But no obvious signs of any altercation, any fight. So here is Reed now in February arrested. And she's pleading not guilty to all of it, as far as that goes. And so she's indicted. Now we're at June of 2022 on second-degree murder, manslaughter, while operating under the influence of alcohol, leaving the scene of a personal injury and death matter. And she's arraigned on new charges, and she pleads not guilty. And so here it is that her defense starts to look at the evidence and says, this to us, it's obvious she's framed. And, you know, she was involved in a fight inside Brian Albert's home, but O'Keefe was beaten and his body was later dumped outside. And so what they're saying basically is, yeah, the body was already in bad condition when it was dumped, and this has nothing to do with Karen. In fact, supposedly O'Keefe was attacked by Albert's dog. So, all right, we'll go on and on. And bottom line is the defense says, this is not fishing. We've got the fish on the hook. We just need the court to reel it in, says the prosecutor. And the defense, on the other hand, says basically none of this is necessarily valid. And none of it was necessarily valid because, again, this is a circumstantial case. And so this goes to trial. And it was a celebrated trial. Everybody in Boston was watching it. And the bottom line is that everybody had a side to it. And again, nothing was confirmed. And through it all, though, it seemed obvious to a lot of onlookers that a lot of this evidence and a lot of these allegations are a cover-up and a cover-up between law enforcement, supposedly, and people in power. And so that was a deal in terms of where you go with this. And bottom line is the jury renders a verdict and finds her innocent on two of the charges and hangs on the third. And so it is. Are they going to have another trial? The hell yes, they're going to have another trial. And and you can read it, by the way, online. There's literally hundreds of pieces of evidence, and you can kind of make up your own mind about what this might be. Obviously, none of us were there, but it did look questionable, to say the least, in terms of perhaps a setup. And so they declare a mistrial, and at that point, she's going to be retried. They will not separate the two charges for which she's been acquitted. Now we're going to try those again too. And so they were looking at the same three charges, and that's what's been going on for quite some time now. We've talked about it since January, really. And a lot of different things came out, but same judge, by the way, in both cases. And the deal is both sides had their supporters, to say the least. And her defense motion to dismiss, obviously, due to extraordinary governmental misconduct, is denied. And so you have a number of people talking about this, and here it comes, right? And so there's the trial. And it was announced today, not guilty. And she is guilty of one lesser charge, a misdemeanor of basically drunk driving and operating under the influence. And so that was the deal on that. And so she gets 1 year probation for that. So acquitted of second-degree murder, acquitted of manslaughter while operating under the influence and leaving the scene of an accident, and convicted of driving under the influence. All right, so you've got the interesting aftermath, I haven't heard any jurors who have been interviewed as yet, but as far as both sides, they are they are not shy about releasing statements. And of course, those in the O'Keefe family and his friends in law enforcement are saying it's a devastating miscarriage of justice, and those in Karen's camp are saying finally someone got it right. So that happened today. And again, certainly wasn't there, but as I looked at some of the details, it certainly did seem like this was at best a circumstantial case, nothing more, with a lot of clout wanting to go after Karen Reed. So yeah, they didn't win. And that's the deal. So 888-876-5593. If it's on your mind, it'll be on mine right here tonight on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, Cindy wanted to hear Love Hurts. Of course, Nazareth had the hit. And I said, well, the Everly Brothers did it originally. A lot of people did, including Roy Orbison. She said, well, let me hear those. All right, so that's the Everly Brothers, and it was somewhat unlikely, I thought anyway, because it came out in Warner Brothers in 1960 on an album. It was an album cut on A Date with the Everly Brothers. And why that was interesting to me is that originally with the Everly Brothers hits, like, you know, Wake Up Little Susie or, you know, Bye Bye Love, you name it, all those hits, they were basically written by Boudlow and Felice Bryant, and they were all on Cadence, Archie Blyer's label. And when the boys left Cadence for Warner Brothers, there was all sorts of issues. Not so much because of the Bryants, Boudlow and Felice, but their publisher, Acuff Rose, was just not having any of this. And so it was that's when Boudlow and Felice stopped writing for the Everly Brothers. And, you know, strangely enough, of course, they're on their own now. What happens? They have about their biggest hit, Kathy's Clown, which was, you know, not a Boudlow and Felice Bryant record. But this album comes out on Warner Brothers right when they're on the label, and Love Hurts, written by Boudlow Bryant, is on there. So that's how it started. And, you know, you just heard it. Would you be in a rush to want to cover that? Well, you'd be surprised how many people did. And then, of course, about 15 years later, who had a hit with it? So 888-876-5593 is 8888-RALEIGH. And James is on the south side. All right, James, welcome back to WGN Radio.
How are you? Thank you for taking my call. How are you doing?
You know, just terrible, but thank you for asking. All right, so now, with that in mind, we'll just gloss over it entirely and go directly to, you sent me some stories. In fact, you were one of the people who sent me an email saying Karen Reed was found innocent, and you were not alone, but I was already celebrating by that point. It was nice to see.
Yeah, I gotta admit, even though I haven't really delved a lot into it, okay, it doesn't appear like the prosecution had much of a case.
Well, they had circumstantial evidence, but, you know, as we saw in the last couple of days, the snowplow driver testified he didn't see a body, and that was a few hours before he's found, as far as that goes. But my favorite came when one of the forensic guys was asked, was it possible there were holes in O'Keefe's sweatshirt? Was it possible that could have been a fall backwards, you know, hit by Karen or whatever? And yes, it could have been. He later had to admit, no, the holes were caused by a criminologist, not in fact by anything at the time. And so the judge gave the jurors an instruction saying, you must realize the holes were caused by a criminologist. Yeah, so you had had a number of pretty high-profile people testifying on the defense's behalf as, you know, hey, there's nothing here. But bottom line is the prosecution had, you know, not a few pieces of circumstantial evidence. It was a mountain. But what they also had on their side was so many people who were in positions of power who were out to get Karen Reed, period. There's no doubt about that. And that's why I was relieved that she wound up being found not guilty. Again, that's not the same as being found innocent. We'll never know. But it was good to see that those in power did not win based on their clout.
Yeah, it might be the best thing. It might be is just after you serve your probation, leave the state.
Yeah, I doubt she will. She's pretty entrenched, but I know just how you feel. And I will say that there were no shortage of supporters on her side too. But if you're thinking, in fact, she could be put in harm's way in the future, yeah, I think maybe a little vacation to Anchorage might be good.
Yeah, I do have at least a story to give you.
All right.
Okay. Rescue poodles find hope after being used for their bodies.
No.
Or being thrown out.
By the way, rescue poodles, when you say that, it seems like an oxymoron. I hate to say it, and I realize the poodle is a most maligned dog because, of course, the toys and the miniatures, and you picture them with painted toenails and all that. But So rescue poodles usually doesn't go together, but the standard poodle is a very bright dog and hypoallergenic as well. So rescue poodles used for their bodies?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. So
yeah, it's sad, yeah. And then, let's see, then I think there's one about a guy who worked multiple jobs to pay rent in the U.S., and so he packed up and moved.
Oh, man.
Now, I couldn't get in this story up what was the rest of it, but he might have gone into something else or left the country.
Interesting. I'm looking at the Rescue Poodles bio as we speak at Sandy Paws Rescue, also a Massachusetts story, we might add. And apparently Peggy and Al arrived very matted and very neglected. And so they signs of malnourishment. And apparently they were used for breeding purposes until their bodies could no longer sustain it.
Ouch.
Yeah.
That's pretty cruel, yeah.
Well, it's a lot
and
of
then
that.
Then here's something where I had hoped, but this is one of those surgeries I thought would be either banned or somebody would say, no, I'm not going to do this. But then again, I keep saying, you keep seeing it. 28-year-old woman dies hours after BBL surgery at an unlicensed recovery house.
Oh, God.
The number one most deadliest plastic surgery.
Well, I don't know what to say. And, you know, there's... is this the woman who traveled to Miami for this? Probably. And and BBL, by the way, Brazilian butt lift, in case people don't know. But, yeah, I think this is the case of a woman who was in Las Vegas, and she traveled to Miami. Now, firstly, you would think there was no shortage of plastic surgeons in Las Vegas, as far as that goes.
I would think given...
You know, here's the deal. You know, it's unbelievably great prices, you know. And, in fact, you've seen things where they do this kind of stuff at parties and things like this. And so it was that the butt lift transfers fat from other areas of the body to, So why? Just as far as that goes, just why? And so...
I don't get it, but, hey, I was going to tell you, okay, Culver's is opening a restaurant in your state, Queen City or something.
Wait a minute. Culver's? We have a lot of Culver's.
Well, you got another one.
No, we have a ton of Culver's. Culver's is a pretty big chain here. And, so maybe Queen Creek or one of those. But,
Culver's. Queen Creek.
Culver's is here, believe me. Several locations. And I like their fish sandwiches. John doesn't, so we don't usually eat there together. But I do like them. So,
okay, I like this. I like the Butterfingers. I have to admit.
Well, there you go. So yes, that's the deal. But yeah, the amount of people who are willing to undergo cosmetic procedures by unlicensed people is alarming. And some of them are big names in Hollywood, and I'll leave them to your imagination. But sometimes surviving is not the best thing when you see how they wind up. And,
there's actually a program that actually, I guess it's on cable called Botched.
Oh, great.
Where these guys try to sort out what somebody else has done to, had themselves done to.
Man,
and
I'll tell you.
I admired their at least trying to help somebody actually get where vanity and malpractice basically ran together, and the results were horrifying.
Apparently this has been on the air for 8 years, and I've never heard about it until now, and that's Botched, and apparently extreme plastic surgery has gone wrong. So 8 years, mind you, and they've been doing this since 2014, and they have a spinoff, by the way. It's not enough that we need one Botched, we need multiple Botched. A spinoff entitled Botched Presents Plastic Surgery Rewind, I guess that follows a group of celebrities who consider whether they should reverse their cosmetic procedures and return to a more natural. I don't know how you reverse some of this stuff, but I don't want to know.
And then there's an irony here. Okay, when Hollywood does decide they want to cast an older actor or actress, especially actress, they try to get an actress who hasn't undergone much or no plastic surgery.
Yeah, good luck for that. Now, by the way, WGN is running the news as well they should for the last couple minutes, so it's just been you and me. But I appreciate the stories very much.
Okay, and here's one to give you this in case. Newborn died hours after doctor used vacuum-assisted delivery method?
Well, it's not the vacuum you're thinking of, I hope. I'll look for that, but that can't be right, can it? I'll check it out. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Okay,
you take care.
Yes. Okay. Now, no. It's not a vacuum like a Hoover. All right. So maybe we'll talk about that and review a couple other things. And I also promised we would go over the history of Chiquita that we talked about last night. But right now I'm talking to myself, and damn good at it, I might add, on WGN Radio.
Love hurts, love scars, love wounds and mars any heart not tough nor strong enough to take a lot of pain, take a lot of pain. Love is like a cloud.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and yes, okay, that's the Roy Orbison version of Love Hurts, 1960 on Monument. It was a flip side, actually, of Running Scared, which, of course, was a hit, which is more than you can say for Love Hurts. Exactly what possessed Nazareth to redo it in 1976, I don't know, but can't argue with success. It was a hit. All right, we won't be playing that one. But so that's for Cindy, who says, I never play a request. Huh. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. And John said to me earlier, And John screens your calls, as you know, when you call. Says, you have to read it on the air. You just have to. I said, I don't know if I can say that word on the air. And John said, of course you can say that word on the air. All right. So apologies in advance if you find it a distasteful word. I never knew I could say it on the air, but apparently you can. But obits are put in the local papers, obviously by family members and loved ones when somebody passes away. And they usually write as much as they can about the, I don't have to explain an obit to you. What am I saying? All right. So we have David Eric Guerrero here. And he blessed his mother on June 1st, 1987, to be born. All right, that's the way it starts. All right, so you know this is going to be an interesting time. He was a lifelong Claypool resident, and he received all the sacraments at the Blessed Sacrament Church. So far you're saying, yeah, it's boring. I'll get to it. He graduated from Miami High in 2008. He loved big family events and being out in the community, attending rodeos, fairs, and community events. While enjoying listening to music, he could be seen with a big smile on his face, dancing and being pushed around in his bright wheelchair. Okay. David also loved listening to people fart, burps, sneezes. What? Yeah, absolutely. Burps, sneezes are loud noises, and laughing about it. They put this in the guy's obit. He enjoyed being with his mama, and depending on who was around, it would be his favorite. Okay. Fine. He loved enchiladas, M&M's, Gatorade, ice, and ice cream, and he will be greatly missed. Well, he won't be forgotten, not at this point. All right, so I don't know. I guess the paper doesn't proof them. And if you're paying for them, you can put anything in there you want, I suppose. So there you have it. And I didn't know the fellow, but rest in peace, David Guerrero. All right, so yeah, what were they thinking? And yeah, I don't know what to tell you. So maybe it made the air, maybe it did not. Like I said, I don't know if you can say that on the air. You can certainly put it in the paper, right? Didn't they run it by family members? I don't know. All right, so Chiquita, last night we were talking about this because James had mentioned that Chiquita was laying off a whole bunch of its staff in Central America. Yeah, it was the big strike gone bad that we talked about, and started to wonder, where are they? And so I looked it up. I looked up the whole history of Chiquita Brands, which began in 1870 when a ship's captain purchased 160 bunches of bananas and sold them in Jersey City. Right. All right. So that's the beginning. And a couple of years later, a Central American railroad developer began to experiment with banana production in Costa Rica. And he planted the bananas alongside the railroad so he could provide revenue for the railroad, trucking them back here. And Chiquita was born. I have no idea who they named it after, but probably someone named Chiquita, one would think. Now, at the same time, United Fruit Company was founded in 1899, and I say that because they're together now. Of course, everything merges, don't you know? That's when Boston Fruit Company and various exporting concerns merged. And in 1903, United Fruit was listed on the New York Stock Exchange, and they're the first company to ever use refrigeration during open sea transport. And, you know, we, being the United States, built a railroad to Guatemala, and some people said largely to benefit that company. Well, United Fruit Company was known for aggressive and exploitative practices in its operations throughout Central America. And in 1913, they created the Tropical Radio and Telegraph Company. All right, then. Talk about outside your normal sphere of business. The company also lobbied the U.S. government to send troops to assist repressing an outbreak in Colombia. The Colombian government quelled it on their own. And what it was, again, was workers. It was a strike. And apparently strikers gathered, and the repression resulted in the deaths of scores of plantation workers. And in the history of Colombia, it's the Massacre de las Bananas, basically. Yeah. And so they used all sorts of emotionally charged advertising. And we continue to enjoy bananas here, as far as that goes. And so it was 1944 that they premiered the Chiquita banana. And that was United, as I say. And they had an advertising jingle. You probably heard it. And they had to explain to tell people how to eat them. You got to be kidding me. Just watch any ape. Well, apparently it was an infectious calypso beat. I'm Chiquita Banana, and I've come to say the brand name Chiquita was registered as a trademark in 1947. All right, so Guatemala... began expropriating the United Fruit Company's land, giving them to peasants, and that was a problem, and on and on. And but by 1955, they were processing 2.7 billion pounds of fruit a year, and they expanded to Europe, and that was 1966, so that was a while ago. And then United Fruit acquired the owner of A&W Root Beer in 1966. Yeah. United Brands comes into being in 1970, and that was a merger with AMK Corporation, became United Brands. AMK owned John Morrill, the meat packer, and so so that became something. And United Brands formed a wholly owned subsidiary, A&W, to retail the root beer. And so, sadly, the guy who ran it commits suicide in 1975. And now you start to get into venture capitalists and Seymour Milstein and like that. And they were the official sponsor of the 1980 Winter Olympics in Lake Placid, Chiquita was. And in 82, they spun off the A&W restaurants, and in 83, they sold the root beer, and that was it. Then in 84, if you're a Cincinnatian, you know Carl Lindner. Well, he became the controlling investor, and he did very well with it. As far as for a while, United Brands sold Tropical Radio Telegraph a year later. I have no idea what Tropical Radio Telegraph might have done, but or how well they did it. But in 1990, they said, the heck with United, let's rename ourselves Chiquita Brands International. And that's exactly what Carl Lindner did. And they did very well. They were in Costa Rica, especially. And then the banana wars happened. And that was two companies, Chiquita, that we know well, and Fife's, F-Y-F-F-E-S, which maybe we don't know well. Apparently, the two together thought it was a somewhat limited banana supply, and so they went at it. Chiquita began illegally seizing and destroying Fife's shipment, and Fife got upset in their own ways. And so, yeah, it was, sadly, the net result was the destruction of $10 million worth of produce. And so, and there was a deal where the guy who ran Fife's alleged that Chiquita used a falsified arrest warrant in a kidnapping attempt, and so there were lawsuits back and forth, and it was a mess. 93, they were hit by European tariffs, which didn't help, and then of course, you had to worry about the rainforest, and in 94, some of Chiquita farms were certified by the Rainforest Alliance's Better Banana Project of being environmentally friendly. So, all this is good, except in November 2001, they filed for Chapter 11. It emerged from bankruptcy, and this ended Carl Lindner's control at that point, and it's been going ever since. Chiquita acquired a German produce distributor, Atlanta AG, in 2003, and that had some processed food, and they sold some of their processed foods to Seneca, and on it goes there, right? So in 2014, Chiquita and Fife's announced that they approved a merger. So, while they were trying to kill and kidnap each other just a few short years before, now they were merging, and they did, and listed on the NYSE. And you got a takeover offer by Brazil and others and all that. And so, if you're wondering, Chiquita operates today in 70 countries, and where is it headquartered? Well, for a while, it was headquartered in Charlotte and then in Dania, but not exactly. All right, what it was the banana division was in Charlotte for several years, and that banana division moved to Dania Beach, Florida, where it remains to this day, while Chiquita, the parent company, Chiquita Brands International, bigger than bananas, that is actually headquartered in Switzerland. All right, so now you know. And of course, I mentioned Brazil getting in there. Yeah, they own some of it too. Safra does, and all that. And now you know. I'm not sure why we got on that last night, but something tells me I need to play Juanita Banana at least, or not. So 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. I don't know much, but the one thing I do know is if you listen to this show, you love radio, and if you love radio, I think you know about the Sea Crane Company, but if not, well, go to ccradio.com anytime, ccradio.com. The only danger is you're going to see something that you just got to have. Yeah, and, you know, everything in the catalog has one thing in common. They have every radio, terrific reception. And, you know, even when I talk about Wi-Fi radio, it'll connect to any wireless access point. But as far as AM, FM, and shortwave and all that, I'll tell you what, you're not going to beat what Bob Crane is putting out there. And one of the neatest is the CC Skywave SSB2. And, you know, radio is a wonderful thing to listen to at any time, but when there is an emergency, now it is indispensable. And Bob Crane has a full line of emergency radios, and one of them is CC Skywave SSB2 is just terrific. AM, and of course it's got the twin coil ferrite, FM, shortwave, NOAA weather and alert, the scannable aviation band, and single sideband. So it has it all when it comes to emergency radio. It fits in the palm of your hand. It weighs only 8 ounces, and the reception is excellent. The audio is sharp and clear for its size, that's for sure. And you'll pick up a number of things that you're not going to pick up on your smartphone. That's assuming your smartphone is even working when there's an emergency. But when you want to hear things where you're just not going to hear it anywhere else, it's just terrific. Like I say, with shortwave and with the SSB, the single sideband, and all that. We can go to ccradio.com and take a look at it. It's got a ton of presets. And when I mean a ton, try 400 memory presets. Yeah, 400. That's it. And so much more. So it's a great radio to have daily. You can listen to your favorite AM or FM broadcasts. And, of course, the weather alert is there to keep you attuned to what's going on weather-wise. It's got a clock and an alarm and a timer and all those wonderful things. And it's got a stereo headphone jack, which is really nice because the earbuds are just terrific for that. And you can read all about it, ccradio.com. Look at the CC Skywave SSB2. Now, if you can't go online, best customer service in the world. Call them at 800-522-8863. 800-522-TUNE. They'll answer all your questions. You can even order by phone, and they'll send you a free copy of the catalog in the mail. Now, what you get with the CC Skywave SSB2 is also the CC wire terminal antenna adapter for shortwave, a portable 23-foot CC shortwave real antenna, the high-quality original CC earbuds, and a leather carrying case. Fake leather, but still carrying case. So check it out. CCradio.com. You tell them Raleigh sent you on WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and well, so that was one of the last two of Jimmy P's six-pack, the Eldorados, Baby, I Need You, 1954 on VJ, and we've got one more to go, yeah, which we will play next. All right, so 888-876-5593 takes us to Tubby in Chicago. So, Tubby, what's happening tonight? Tubby?
Yes.
There you are. Okay, what's up?
You, lady, you and John, baby, and everybody else.
Yeah, well,
look, I got a couple of consumer notes before I forget. I usually write this down. Okay, let me see if I can remember. Okay, one thing I got from that, I think it's HouseSmart, that guy. You know everything about this and that. But he said for bugs and gnats and stuff, he said this product, somebody will have heard of, but I think it's, you know, with this humid weather, it's called, I think it's SLA, capital letters, SLA.
Okay.
And so I just thought I'd throw that out there because they are mad. They drive you crazy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. All right. SLA cedar scented spray used for quick, immediate protection kills contact not only on moths, but carpet beetles and silverfish, but many other flying and crawling insects, too. Well, how it doesn't leave a stain, leaves behind a fresh cedar scent. All right. Well, now we know. I wonder if they do anything with mosquitoes.
I don't know. I didn't hear them say mosquitoes, but the guy, John Williams, on the other show was talking about, he used it, he said, because he think it was gnats that was bothering him.
Ah.
And so they endorsed that. That's about 6 weeks ago I heard it on one of the stations. But I thought that was worth sharing, you know?
All right, yes. Well, it claims here that they will it will give you quick, immediate protection against mosquitoes. I don't know, but it seems like everything.
Yeah, all kinds of little buggy things.
Creepy crawlies.
Yeah. Right. Also, I want to make a note, Consumer Report.
Okay.
You know what they're doing? They're really playing us on the bags. You know when they make you buy them bags? People, they charge for bags. Some people charge, Jewel is charging 10 cents for a grocery bag.
Okay? Yes.
And I think it's horrible. Also, and then other stores are charging $7, but they charge what they want. But it's like, and if you don't say something, no bags, they're charging you. Okay, but here's the really kicker that really bothers me. I said I would just bring it up, that they're always talking about the plastic. You know when they have these shows about the straws and the plastic, about the styrofoam? Well, why are you still using them? Okay, that's one part of the thing. They had, like, when it comes to recycling and stuff, they never took time to really get into it. They changed it. I remember when they changed the cans. I was over there on over by Clark and Bell, and I was living over there. When they started, you know, having two color cans, one garbage can, and then talk about this was recycled.
Yes.
But they never take time to really talk to people and try to edify them on what to do, like take the paper off the plastic bottles.
Yeah.
And you know, so many people now are really drinking bottled water more than ever before, right? So, okay, I'm going to tell you how they're playing us. They're saying plastic is so bad, and they're constantly using it. They're not even trying to encourage people to bring their own bags to the store. You see everything on TV, but you never have the little commercials saying, well, you know, it would help the environment if you 30 seconds over and over. They show everything else. You know, if you would use them, bring your own bags. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
All kinds of stuff. Or just be a real clear on what's recyclable and what isn't. These people really don't care. That's what really disgusts me most, okay? And now what they're doing...
Well, by the way, Tubby, did you know that California have banned plastic bags at grocery stores?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, it takes effect this coming January for the single-use plastic. And, you know, the places that are more of the health food stores, the Whole Foods and the Sprouts and things like that, they have, it's plastic, but it's a tough plastic. It's not for single use. You're supposed to bring them back, use them again and again. But, yeah, California banned single-use plastic bags. They did it.
Well, listen to this. Remember when... The first time they had this thing where everything, people were talking about the bottom, it was like the peanut butter jar. The peanut butter jar had this big lump in the bottom of it, and they were changing the size of containers and stuff. Like, one thing they did do, I'll tell you, let me go back up. They did make it harder. It's hard to open a bag of potatoes. It's hard to open some products. People have a harder time. They figure they lose more money when they have to pull everything off the shelves, okay? When people tamper with products. Okay, so it's really
hard. All right, Tubby, hang on a minute. Don't go away. I got to do the news, and we'll get right back to it.
Okay.
So stay right where you are, right here on WGN Radio.
Okay.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That concludes Jimmy P's six pack. And yeah, interesting, the Shirelles on Scepter, of course, and 1964. But yeah, you sure hear the influences of several songs in that, don't you think? All right. But you know, when it's not a hit, no one comes after you. And that wasn't. So Tubby in Chicago is back on WGN Radio.
That's, I'm right here, Raleigh.
Me too.
Okay, look. Here's the thing. So I forget what I was saying about them bags, them little black bags.
Uh-huh.
At the grocery store that they're making you pay for.
Yes.
Not the jewel ones, but there's some black bags. You can look at them, and you know, the handles on the bag have a certain bending at the top where they pull the two tops together, right?
Right.
And I am just teed off to the end because you can look at them, and they look raggedy. But one of them with potato chips in them, actually, first thing I noticed last week was the you know, the potato chips were cutting through the bag, the bag part. And then I noticed that the top weren't secure on the top. And guess what? Sure enough, the handles just fell apart on top.
I believe it.
We're not talking about having anything in there that was heavy, okay? We're talking... Okay, because I had my own bags for heavy stuff. You know, my camera bags. Well, I was like, you know, they are getting so too greedy, okay? It's just getting so out of hand.
Yeah.
It's bad enough you got criminals. Then when you got consumers that are really, you know, shorting you all the time, you just get over, you know, like, it's like, come on, y'all.
Yeah.
When you gonna just act like you got some sense for a change. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely. But in the meantime, bring your own bags.
Yeah, I do that. But, you know, that's the time where I'm just out and grab something. And,
yeah.
You know, and I pass a place and I don't have my bags with me because I wasn't grocery shopping. I was just stopping in a store and picking up something, grabbing something.
Me too.
Or you might go to a function and you're coming home and you're dressed, you know, nice. You are really shopping, and you need a bag to put your stuff in. Well, I'm going to tell you, mark my word, people going to agree, but they're going to say, yep, them some raggedy bags. Them bags are falling apart before you put something in them. What else I want to tell you?
Now, you know, the interesting thing, by the way, when you're talking about charging for these bags, Seattle, the good old city of Seattle, the People's Republic of Seattle, not only are plastic bags banned completely, but grocery stores have to charge at least a nickel per bag.
Okay.
It's a law. If they don't charge a nickel for bag, they can be fined.
Yeah, I'm just saying, it's just like...
That's
it's
crazy.
One thing when you're getting something, but... But for them to talk all this talk, and then they still got all this plastic floating around. That's what I'm talking about.
Well, I know.
They're double playing society when they do that.
Well,
okay, moving on.
Yes.
What else I want to say? I got a request. You know who I got a taste for today? Some Marvin Gaye.
All right, good.
I don't want that soft stuff here. I want some of that.
All right, I'll play you some Marvin Gaye next. I'll be happy to do that. Maybe ain't that peculiar.
Okay, whatever you want to play, Mike. Okay. You play whatever you want, okay?
All right.
I want you. I've been in touch. It's been a crazy time, and you know, I had the funerals. And I still ain't figured all that out. I'm just like going through it. I mean, two people dying too close together. But you tell my guys, James and Jim and Johnny D and Linda and everybody, shout out to everybody. Keep the spirit. Oh, I know what I'm saying. That guy that preached from South Africa.
Yeah.
I loved it. He said, do not, because you know I am preaching, I ain't talking politics and I ain't talking religion, but he said, do not let the bully, bully, the bully have the last word. And that's what I've been trying to tell James and Jim and them. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
At the end of the day, don't disappoint yourself. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And the bully, because that's what the bully do. He stand out, he get you coming in the door. He's talking to all his pastors in the hall. You got to put up with their boots. I see you after school and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And you know, it's aggravating to have somebody picking at you all day. And so he said, don't let the bully have the last word. do not let him have the last word. And you know what that means? Don't give up.
That's
I
right.
Love y'all.
Absolutely. You too. Now, by the way, did you hear your Laura Nero the other night?
I did not.
Oh.
My kid, that's a thing. You know what? Don't worry. I played it. I just thought someone else might enjoy it.
All right. Good deal. Well, we'll talk to you soon. Okay. Thanks. Appreciate it, Tubby.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah. And, of course, you know, we'll get more Laura Nero on. Happy to do that. But Marvin Gaye, yeah, I think Ain't That Peculiar. That's the first one that came to mind. So that's the one we'll be playing as our next bumper. And let us see what is going on here. I believe that Linda in Richland Park is checking in. So welcome back to WGN Radio, Linda.
Hi. How are you?
All right. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm fine. I just was listening to Chubby talking about those plastic bags.
Yeah.
Real concerned about it. I just couldn't understand why was she so concerned about it, you know.
The hypocrisy. The hypocrisy of it.
You know, the plastic bags are supposed to save the planet. That's what I think. You know, it's not about the gouging money and all this. They're trying to save the planet, but people put them in a recyclable bin.
Yeah, but then they're charging to give you more.
Right, but what's a nickel? Come on now.
Yeah.
What's a nickel? Give me a super break. You know, right. I wouldn't mind if they charged me. When I go to the jewel, I don't even think about a bag, paper, or plastic. No, I just go and do my shopping.
Good for you. No, I come equipped.
I don't carry no bags, you know. I'm not a person concerned about the bags. What I'm most concerned about is those doggone seagulls all in the lot. People need to stop feeding them jokers so they can go back to the beaches. You can't hardly get to your car for seagulls all over the place at these restaurants and in grocery store lots.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It's horrible. And if they stop feeding the seagulls, they will stop coming to these lots and things. You could be at a restaurant and come out with your bag. You better cover the top. Because they'll dive down after you if, you know, if it's lunchtime.
I'll be darned.
Yeah, it's really something. It's getting horrible. And like she was saying about the bugs and the mosquitoes and all that stuff. And, you know, yeah, we got all kind of bugs and mosquitoes, new things coming up. But the secret is to protect your body. You know, if you eat garlic every day, some little garlic. Mm. You won't have to be worried about a mosquito ever biting you because that odor is going to come through your poses. And they will not. They will not bother around with you. Now, I learned it from my people in the South. They say always eat some garlic. Chew a little stick of garlic. And when you get to sweating, mosquitoes are not going to come around you. No bugs. They can't stand it.
All right.
And another way how you can keep them away is get a little Skin So Soft Avon. It's the
yes,
oil.
Yes, yes. That's been around forever, and you're right. I can't tell you. It's been decades, but yes, Skin So Soft.
Yes. That helps out a whole lot, you know. So nobody wants all these bugs and new bugs. They said that if the mosquito, I heard on the news, the mosquito is going to, if it bites you, it could hurt your lungs and all that. It's some type of germ the mosquito can have, and it's just scaring people up, you know?
Huh. Yeah.
So it's good that they tell us these things, and they say if we take this new corona shot, it'll protect your kidneys. Now, I don't believe that is more than nothing.
Yeah, well,
you know,
yeah.
Anything to get you going at it. So sometimes you have to use your common sense. But I was saying that Tubby, she's more concerned about the price of a bag. The bags are no good because she's saying they fall right straight through.
Yep.
You know, so it's good if she goes shopping, take your bags. But when I go shopping, I don't care. They can try me for a bag, how many of a bag.
All right.
That don't bother me. What bothers me, get those doggone seagulls out of the parking lot. Some grocery stores, not at all now. It's some.
I was just reading online about these seagulls since you mentioned it, and apparently there are people trying to run them over in the parking lots like it's a pinball game. And three people speeding up to run over the... Oh, man, this is going to be accidents waiting to happen. I love it.
Exactly. But, you know, I just can't understand. People get sick and tired of those seagulls everywhere you go. You know, and then I was going to... Also, I wanted talk to you about some music I wanted to hear. I heard some good music today. I said, let me remember because I can't see how to write it down. I got to wait so long for my eye appointment. I'm trying not to be angry. I'm trying to be cool and calm. But I can see a little bit pretty good, but I'm just waiting. My appointment is in September 23rd.
Oh, jeez. That's a long time from now.
Yes, and it's in Florida, Palm Springs, Florida. There's a hospital there.
Oh, yeah?
Supposed to be the best eye hospital ever. That's what I heard.
Huh.
And it's in Palm Springs, Florida.
Is it in Palm Beach, Florida, maybe?
It might be in Palm Beach. My daughter-in-law made my appointment, but I know we have to fly to Florida to go out there. I made an appointment. They say it's going to take a 3-hour eye exam.
Okay.
So I think that should be pretty thorough.
I agree.
Check me out.
Now,
hopefully they can give me some answer because my last doctor, she don't want to see me to every 9 months. I just can't take her anymore.
Uh-huh. Right, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, so.
All right, well, good luck. Keep me posted on that. I want to know how it goes.
And let me give you my songs I want you to play for me. Everybody got a six-pack. I said, I want to do a six-pack, too.
All right, let's hear it.
Well, the first one I like is by Ray Charles, Quincy Jones, and Chaka Khan, I think it is. I'll Be Good to You.
Okay.
That's one I like to hear. And then I like to also hear the song by... I got no sleep at all last night.
Right, Bobby Lewis. Yeah. Yes. Okay.
Yes.
You got it. What else?
There's another song I like. I can't think of the name of it, but the person that sung it, his name was Bill Mitchell, I think. Bill Lewis.
Give me some words. You got to do more than this.
I'm trying to see. His name is not Billy Mitchell. It's we'll just get it. I can't think of his name.
Well, can you think of any words in the song?
I can't think of the words in that song. I've been listening, trying to remember the song.
Because there's so many people named Mitchell. Guy Mitchell, Loving You Has Made Me Bananas. There's a ton of,
No. It's an old song I hadn't heard in a long, long time. But I do like also, you can play this instead. B.B. King, Thrill Is Gone.
Okay.
I like that.
All right.
And let me know when I get up to my
Well,
number.
You're at three right now.
Oh, I'm at three. And then I also like the song by, what's this song? I Love It by Paul Simon. I'll Be Your Bodyguard.
Okay. You can call me Al.
Yeah, I love that song.
Okay,
it's
what else? That's
happy
four.
Song.
That's four.
And then I also like, what was this other song? By Isaac Hayes, yeah. But it's too long. You can't play it. So could you play?
I can play. By the way, I can play the opening of whatever it is. So you're thinking by the time I get to Phoenix, what song? What Isaac Hayes song?
No, I want you to play Shaft.
Okay, Shaft it is. That's five. What's six?
And my sixth one would be something by A.L. Green. How Could You Mend a Broken Heart? I love this song.
Okay, you got them.
And that's my six.
That's your six-pack.
I'm gonna start with me a six-pack, too, because I hear some good songs. So hopefully everybody, tell Tubby, I hope she's listening. I'm happy for her concern, but we need about 100,000 people with the thoughts that she has as far as cleaning up the planet, because it's going to take a lot for that.
All right. Well, Linda has spoken.
Well,
all right.
Thank you for taking my call.
Always. Bye, always fun. Bye. Thanks. Appreciate it. Yes, a six-pack, and we'll get to some of them. Of course, we'll get to Marvin Gaye next, because I promised I would. And we've got Bonnie and Butternut and Mary and Midway and Room for You on WGN Radio.
Stay away too long and I can't do without you. blue. It's a doggone shame, my love, for you makes all your lies seem true. If the truth makes love last longer, why do lies make my love stronger?
WGN Radio. I'm Robbie James. One of my favorite Marvin Gaye's. Hope Tubby liked it too. 1965 on Tamla. Yeah, all right. So 888-876-5593-8888-Raleigh. Bonnie is in Butternut. How are you, Bonnie? No, I lost Bonnie? Oh, I'm so sorry. And she had something to say about Fran. I don't know what it was, but she will. But also, happy 60th wedding anniversary. Whoa. No. Yeah, 60th, that's what it says. So, terrific. All right, so, Bonnie, I'm sorry we didn't get to you in time, but I hope it is a wonderful anniversary. That's great. All right, but Mary is in Midway, we think. So, Mary, are you there?
Oh, yes, I think I am. Am I?
Excellent, there you are. Thanks for listening.
Okay, well, I'm calling to kind of chime on what Tubby had said.
Yes.
I figure it's almost my civic duty at this point, what they're doing to us. Okay, so it seems like they've totally exhausted, like, how much they can take out of the product. Its quality's gone down.
Yeah.
Quantity's gone down. Price has gone up. But now I'm like, they're like, well, now we have to go after the packaging because we've used all other things with the product. I bent over the other day at the store to pick up a cardboard box of cereal, Raleigh. So, you know, and I'm a little old lady. I'm a weakling. So I put my hand on it. It was on the bottom shelf to pick it up. Like, you know, you got to make your hand like a claw.
Right.
I'm telling you, the front and back panel of this cardboard box met. I mean, I was like, how cheap? Okay, and it dawned on me. I'm like, they've done everything they can to the product. There's nothing in it. The quality went down. Now they have to do the packaging.
Right.
So Tubby got me started because she said the bags are cheap. Well, and I almost got a paper cut, too, because the theme was just about coming apart.
Oh, my good God.
Oh, anyway, that's all I wanted to say. I did my civic duty.
Oh, no, well, you're absolutely right. It is alarming. And I love the way they try to placate us by saying that the weight is the same, but the contents of the package may have settled. I'm like, no, I'm not settling for this. No.
I know. And you'll love it. What I was buying was a box of Kix cereal. You used to say that was your favorite.
Well, it was before they changed the formula.
I know exactly what you mean. I thought maybe you complained or something because it tasted pretty good this time.
Oh, really? No, I did complain. Yeah. And they write me this horrible letter of, oh, no, ma'am, it has no more sugar than ever. We just put it on the top so it would taste sweeter. I'm like, that's the problem. I don't want it to taste sweet.
I totally agree, but I swear maybe your letter did something. Try it again. It was delicious.
I mean, yeah, I explained to them. I said, at this point, I have to salt the stuff. You know, so
me and you both, Raleigh.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you get better, girl.
Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. All right. So 888-876-5593. It's always, you know, interesting. I was actually feeling pretty good. And then a few minutes before the show, you know, I erupted like what's in front of the Bellagio Hotel in every direction. You know, and at that point, I'm like, I don't feel so good after all. But you know, I feel better when I'm talking to you, truly. So let's see. Marguerite is in Chicago. So, Marguerite, what's happening tonight?
Well, thank you for taking my call.
Always.
And I'm sorry you're not feeling well.
Thanks.
Just getting in about 30 minutes ago. And I said, let me tune in tonight.
Yeah.
And so to hear you're not feeling well, okay, eat ice chips.
Okay.
Put ice cubes in a bath towel.
Mm-hmm.
And pound it with a hammer or a high-heeled shoe or something,
mm-hmm.
and get them into ice chips if you don't have a chip maker.
Yeah.
And scoop them up and eat them. You're not to drink water directly.
Okay, I'll do it.
Okay, of course, gargle, and then saltine crackers, plain toast. If you have to have breakfast, a boiled egg.
Yeah, no
and,
food.
Of course, chicken broth until you're better.
Thank you.
And you'll know when you're feeling better, and then take it easy. You know, just drink the juices and things like that before you go. You know, it's actually go veggie for a while and then go hardcore. And I hope you feel better.
Thank you.
And you're welcome. And, okay, so I missed last night. I'm sorry. Then, I kid you not, I stayed up until 12:30 doing this and doing that and fell asleep.
Good for you.
So I missed the answer Thank you. But I missed the answer to the question because you were going to reveal it.
I did.
What it is couples do.
Yes.
Well, but not necessarily together. And then still end up fussing and arguing or something.
Yes, the big arguers. It's chain smoking.
Now, when what's her name hit it, you said she was near. It was like warm.
Yeah, you're close.
And it was what it was. I thought it may have been cigarette smoking.
It was chain. Okay. And see, what's interesting about this, I love this story, because the Tobacco Institute paid for this research. And when the initial findings came in, what they discovered was, they thought it was really positive, that smokers tended to be more thinkers. They were deeper thinkers. They thought more. And they thought, oh, this is great. Let's do more research, you know. So they dig deeper. And what they discover is that when they got to the point of chain smokers, they were the most argumentative at home over any. Anybody. And so at that point,
I can believe it because I live with some. Oh,
then you know.
I live with one, and he's 95. My father's 95.
Perfect.
Okay?
Well, and so at that point, the Tobacco Institute scrubbed the survey. That's why nobody's ever heard about it.
Okay. And you know, they are really smart people. And I'm looking at people that have quit, you know.
Yeah.
And but still, it's just not healthy for you, and you know. Okay. So thank you for that answer. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And also, you know, I officially made myself a Raleigh James dancer.
Yes, co-captain,
Yeah, because all the other listeners are co-captains
as well.
along with me, right.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, I was doing, excuse me, I heard the music. I was already on my feet because a lot of times I'm sitting down when I call and have been listening sitting down. But because, like I said, just got in doing this and doing that. And so I said, okay, let me do the shimmy, the swim, and some other dances that, you know, went on during that time period of the song you just played. So depending on when and what is what I do.
Uh-huh. Well, I think I have to play the Jerk and Twine for you then. That'll give you a couple.
Okay. Okay. And so even listeners, even if you're, you know, sitting down, you can just do it in your head even, you know, with your feet or whatever, if you're not actually standing up and moving. And so, yeah, the music is great, and your history is, oh, my goodness, just... I mean, you truly are an encyclopedia, a walking, living encyclopedia of music.
Absolutely useless information. And thank God for talk radio. It's the only time it helps. But I'm going to play Jerk and Twine for you next, so you can do those.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay, and for all of us, okay, and so, and you're captain, too, a dance captain as well with us, so keep the show going and keep us moving, and thank you so much.
And thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
And you're welcome.
All right. So
bye-bye.
Good to hear from Marguerite. Yeah, Jackie Ross, Jerk and Twine. And can't resist that. So let's see. We will get to that in moments. But now, Bonnie from Butternut called and then she went away. I don't know. Bonnie, just stay. right. Treating her like she's a St. Bernard. No, call and stay on hold. Chris in Greenwood, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh.
How are you? What's up?
Fine. Marguerite was right. You are truly an encyclopedia and know a lot about history. And
useless
so do
knowledge.
I.
Yes, absolutely useless knowledge. Nice to be able to strut it somewhere. So, what's up?
Yeah, yesterday we had the Film Society meeting. It was Tuesday, and we watched two black and white short films.
What were they?
We watched Don't Be a Sucker. You ever heard of that? Old movie.
Don't Be a Sucker?
Yeah, it's like an armed film, like against Nazis.
Yeah, Don't Be a Sucker. Wasn't that anti-fascist? Isn't that something the army put out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's one.
Right. I know they start out with a Freemason. Yeah, it was from 1943, the rise of the Nazism and all that. Yes, so I'm aware of Don't Be a Sucker. It's probably on YouTube.
Yeah, and then secondly, we watched my favorite, Atomic Attack.
Oh.
From 1954.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, 1950.
It was good. And
that's the one that Walter Matthau was in, right?
Yeah, the Walter Matthau, Phyllis Baxter, and Patty McCormack.
Yeah. So it was the nuclear bomb fallout that was dropped on Manhattan, and they lived about, I don't know, 50 miles away. Yes.
Yeah, it was a H-bomb.
Yeah.
But the thing is, people we watched, and there was a lot of flaws. There was a lot of whining from that girl. Her name, Patsy Bruder.
Okay.
The actress.
Okay.
Her character whined a lot. and there was a lot of siren noise on there. And right. Also, school history, before EAS, all that came on, there was the Connell Rad.
Oh, of course it was. Day. Yes, of course. Yeah, and I have a station on 1240, 640 and 1240. Yes, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. I bet people nowadays don't even know what Connell Rad is.
Well, it didn't work very well, but, you know, the way it's going now, I'm not sure EAS will work very well because most of these areas, most counties have an IT, you know, have somebody ahead of emergency services that only knows about IT and what will be on the cell phone and all that. You know, I'm not sure how many of them actually care about radio anymore.
Yeah.
It's a shame.
And here's what's interesting. Afterwards, we have, conversations and questions about the film. One guy jumped up and he said he talked about politics, which we shouldn't have.
Nah.
It was about the first movie.
Yeah.
And he said, we don't have a clue what's going on, and said this and that. And said he'd been to college because he read some of our faces after he said about the conflict overseas with Iran. And
Well, what they should do is have a no politics rule, because otherwise it devolves into something you just don't want to talk about.
Oh, yeah, and then he got into it some, and then he talked about the second movie, Atomic Attack, said the movie stuck because you couldn't hear nothing because the sound is not stereo, and it's like, you know, like it's mono sound like back in the old days.
Well, everything in my life is mono. No, not the old days, these days. I am a mono girl.
Yeah. And he said he couldn't hear a dang word.
Oh, that's so funny. No, everything I do pretty much is mono. I mean, my FM station that's number one in the county, that's stereo. But as far as, you know, the other things and this show, everything on this show that I do is absolutely mono.
Yeah. And what thing is that triggered the whole thing about the conversation is we need to prepare for nuclear war. And that's what really fired up. One woman got into his. And he said, you don't know what you're talking about. And he said the first movie, Don't Be a Sucker, said exactly what is happening to our country today. That's what that movie was about.
Okay.
And then she mentioned the second movie, which was Atomic Attack. And
right.
He said she remembers going in school, second grade, hiding under the desk.
Yeah, the duck and cover drills. But, you know, I remember the duck and cover drills as well. And I'll tell you what. Here we are under the desk, you know, covering our, you know what, and all that. How about the idiot they send out to get the flag? This is no time to get the flag.
No, I remember going under my desk when we had earthquake drills.
Oh, God. Yeah, but duck and cover, I remember that so well, and I always wondered.
Yeah, we did watch that last year at the Society of Duck and Cover.
Oh, sure. Now, every kid had to do that. You know, and that was a time when still usually on Saturday at 1 o'clock they were testing the air raid signals. You know,
uh-huh.
Every Saturday at 1 you heard about it. So sure, that was big in the 50s. I remember it very well.
Yeah, but our air raid sirens, that issue with tornadoes is out of commission because the parts were too expensive and they were so old.
Oh, that's funny.
They were post.
That's funny.
World War. And
you know, there was also, I don't know if you have it in your repertoire, but maybe for one of your meetings, there was a film, Duck and Cover. And it was an educational film, and it starred Bert the Turtle. So you'll have to look for that.
Yeah, Bert the Turtle.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So was Duck and Cover ever on local TV, like WGN?
I have no idea. I saw it in school, and this was the Civil Defense Administration released this, and it was like I was you know, grade school. I think it was released in 1952, and anybody can show it because it's public domain. So I know it's been seen on Turner Classic Movies and things like that.
Yes, I remember first seeing that on Turner Classic.
Right,
that's what got me watching Atomic Attack, because I scrolled through it on YouTube, and all of a sudden Atomic Attack popped up right behind Duck and Cover.
Yeah, there were so many of those films. So many of those films. Ohio specialized in the car films, you know, the driving films that were just Mechanized Death was my favorite title, Mechanized Death. But there were many others as well. And then they had the Boys Beware movies. Just all the stuff they showed you. It's a wonder we survived.
Yeah. And back to that conversation they had, and she brought up of what happened like over this past Saturday was going on with the protest.
Yeah.
And then he said, I can tell you're against the United States. And he said, what have you done to this country? And he said he wore Mr. Magoo's glasses, and well, when he went into the army, he couldn't read.
This is the time you remind him that this is a film group, not a political group.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it was Jerry Springer show at the Film Society.
Right, yeah, right, exactly. I'm sure it was. That's great. Yeah.
And one of my friends that I brought to it, she said, if anyone's religious, I said, just leave it up to the good Lord.
Yeah, very good. Very good, exactly. Yes.
And he tried to keep the peace, and then he just went on and on and on.
Well, that's about the time you disinvite him to the next meeting.
Yeah, just like your show.
All right. So, yeah.
Because you got these political jerks out there who want to cause trouble, and they just want, that's what watching movies is, to get away from the everyday life.
Well, that's it. And it's not that I don't have viewpoints. And, of course, I have a string of decades of doing political talk. So I do have people who are just horrified that I don't do it at this point. But, you know, it's everywhere. It's ubiquitous. You know, when I started doing it, very few people, this is pre-Rush, were doing it. But now it's everywhere. So we try to be a respite away from that stuff. But, yeah, I get complaints.
Yeah. Yeah, because if you talk political, people are going to argue with you, and people are going to get upset because they have a different opinion.
Yep, and nobody ever called because they wanted to hear somebody else's opinion. They call because they want to spread theirs, whatever it is. So we just try to...
And he also brought up the fact that he said, there's a station, a right-wing AM station in Columbia, South Carolina, said most of these voters don't have a clue what there is, and that's why they didn't go out to vote in these last elections.
Yeah, go away. Yeah, next time, just don't let them know where the meeting's going to be.
Yeah.
All right.
And we're taking a month off, and we're going to be back in August.
Well, don't tell them where.
Yeah,
don't tell
them where.
That's right. Keep it a secret.
And he's shaking, too, like he's vibrating his hand. Like,
yeah, well, he's
like he says, I got a diploma, and I can see the look in y'all faces when we say we're going to war.
Yeah, well,
because I know y'all scared.
Well, he needed an audience, and he got one with you guys. But like I say, don't publicize the location next time. All right.
Yeah, he just caused a scene.
Always good to hear from you, Chris. Thank you.
Right on, Riley.
Okay, bye. Yeah. Oh, man. All right. We'll get to Rita in Harwood Heights. Hopefully you too. Maybe Bonnie will call back. I don't know. Maybe third time will be a charm. We'll find out. And Jerk and Twine. Yeah, that will come up next. So Marguerite can dance on WGN Radio.
A good time and a finger.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. There is Jackie Ross, Jerk and Twine. That came out in 1965 on Chess, of course. And, you know, it sounded awfully familiar. And then I thought, wait a minute. Last year, Selfish One came out, and Everything But Love was on the flip side. There you have it. Yes, Everything But Love is the same backing track as Jerk and Twine. Both of them fine, and neither a hit, of course. What a shame. So 888-876-5593. Oh, we're going to talk to Carl in Riverside in a minute about the Karen Reed trial. We opened the show with that, a full recap, but I don't mind talking about it anymore. I'm happy to do that. And Rita in Harwood Heights, though, been hanging on for a while. How are you doing, Rita?
Hi, how are you doing?
I can't complain.
Okay. Well, I hope you do better.
Thanks.
I've had a lot of issues, and I haven't been listening to the radio all that much. I've had an awful lot of issues from having identity theft to...
the worst. Man,
yeah,
how
and,
frustrating.
And also, this last storm, I had the microburst, and my house has so much damage to it.
Oh.
I have my house on the block. You know, no other house has got damage,
man.
No other trees.
It happens. You know, I can relate. A tree fell through my house once in that kind of a microburst thing, so I know. Yes.
Oh, it's terrible. So I've got people all lined up to come and do the fixing. I had the chimney already fixed now. And then somebody broke into my house about a week ago.
Oh.
And through the back door. Yeah. I mean, it's been one thing after the other.
Yeah.
But last time I talked to you, I had asked if anybody that listens to you has ever had this thing called QC kinetics.
Yes.
Instead of having total knees done.
Right. I remember that.
Because I wanted to know how they did, because I'm in so much pain.
Yeah.
So much pain. And my doctor, because of my age, you know, I'm 84, almost 85 now.
Right.
And the doctor doesn't want to give me any medication that will, cover the pain. And
now, that's that's a real shame as far as that goes. And not just your age, but physicians are afraid of being blacklisted, you know, if they give you, God forbid, they give you a narcotic or something like that nature.
Right.
And there's a lot of people genuinely in pain who shouldn't be. So I agree with that. Now, on the other hand, when you're talking about knee surgery, that can be very invasive. And when you're over 80 and you've got other things going on, that might not be your best choice. So I don't know much about QC kinetics. We were talking about it earlier today, actually, because I don't know if I think it's franchised. It's a medical franchise model, so they're in a number of places. And so what they're talking about is regenerative medicine, and I would think it's worth a try. So have you talked to them at all?
No, I haven't called them yet.
Well,
okay. Too many other calls that I've had to make for other things, but.
You know, they
haven't called them yet.
They do platelet-rich plasma, PRP. And I don't know enough about it to tell you, oh, this is great or this is bad. Every body is different. So you definitely want to research anything anyone tells you when they're mm-hmm. talking about orthobiologic therapies. You mm-hmm. want to do your own research. But when you're looking at continual pain, I would say it's certainly worth investigating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I will call them then.
Let me know. Nobody has responded to say that they have tried it. The reality on all of this, and I don't care what the therapy is, individual results vary. So what works for one body doesn't necessarily work for another body, but it doesn't matter about anybody else if it's giving you relief. Now, the only thing is, I would assume that when it gets down to it, the initial consultation will be free, but I don't think insurance is going to cover this.
Oh,
so get ready to spend.
It does.
Maybe it's worth finding out. And, you know, on the other hand, if it was the treatment that you really wanted, even if it didn't, sometimes it's worth it. But if they advertise that it covers it, that's great. But certainly the first visit's free, and it would behoove you to at least try that.
Right. Well, I'm going to try it.
Yeah.
The other question that I have is, I thought that maybe James on the south side would know about the Piatone Airport, because we, you know, O'Hare, where I'm living out here by O'Hare.
Right.
And the noise, I mean, the planes are going over all the time by me. I'm on the track here for the planes.
Mm-hmm.
And we were always told when I first moved into this house that they were going to have a place in Piatone and expand that for the people who live on the south side, so they wouldn't have to travel all the way to O'Hare. And I haven't heard anything more. And
well,
I didn't know if about that.
You know, Midway is still there. As far as that goes, and that's the second largest airport in Chicago. Of course, it's closer to downtown than O'Hare is. And when you're on domestic routes, certainly I know Southwest certainly does a lot at Midway, but there are others as well. And then if you're on the north side, some people, you know, like Milwaukee, and actually even RFD Rockford is an alternative. But I don't know. Other than Midway, I haven't heard of anything that is predicted for the south side.
I'm just so tired of the problems here at O'Hare.
Well, that won't go away because, unfortunately, O'Hare is huge, as you know, and it is, when it comes to international flights and also a lot of connecting flights, O'Hare's not going away. But let me ask you something. Was your neighborhood there before O'Hare, or did it come after?
Well, my house was here before O'Hare Airport was put on the map as an airport.
All right. All right.
It was here like a more of a airmail drop off.
Okay. And then they expanded.
I was the first house here. My house is over 100 years old.
Wow. So, all right.
Yeah. And it's still standing, but with so many problems.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, I tell you.
100 years old, it's going to have problems. Yes.
Yeah.
So if it's 100 years old, was it built with indoor plumbing or did they retrofit it?
Well, I have to have a new toilet as soon as possible.
Oh, no, I'm sure that's true. But, I mean, looking back at the old construction, was it originally built with... Because, like, the house I'm living in now, you know, where the radio stations are, that was not built with indoor plumbing. That was that came about 10 years after the house was built. So curious. So it was built with indoor plumbing?
Right, it had indoor plumbing.
From day one.
Unfortunately, when they built this place... They built it over streams, so we've always had flooding.
Well,
and I had to have a special flood control put in my backyard, and, you know, a big hole, like a sewer type of device, put into my front yard. And that has controlled most of it, but in a really heavy rain, the concrete in the basement buckles upward because of the pressure underneath from the streams.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah,
but,
well, that's a problem, to say the least. Yeah, I hate to say it, but I don't see any relief from this. I don't think you will see that there's going to be too much relief from O'Hare traffic. It's there. And obviously, some days is worse than others, depending on what direction they're flying due to the wind.
Oh, yes, I know. The pattern changes.
Yeah, sure
I sit in my car sometimes at night, listening to you in my car in the dark, and watching, you know, what pattern they're...
Right.
You know, they're going this way and that way. And,
right.
Yeah, my poor neighbor across the street, they just built a brand new house, a tall, skinny structure, and where a driveway had been.
Okay.
A driveway.
All right.
I mean, you can imagine how narrow that house is, but it's very tall. And it's only 1 foot short, I was told by the village, I was just 1 foot short of having to have a red light on the top.
Okay.
Because of the planes.
That's funny.
Yeah. But that occupant there told me, he said that he doesn't think that the attic is, or the top floor, is insulated that well because he's really bothered by the planes.
Well, you know, let's face it. In your case, I really feel sorry for you, Rita, because that house was there before the airport. But in somebody, anybody who's built a house after the airport is there, I don't have a lot of sympathy for them. And you see that in a lot of places, like in Orange County, California. It's terrible with the noise abatement regulations they have. You know, taking off and landing at that airport is just good luck. And of course, all the people who are complaining, those developments came after that airport. So my feeling is, shut up. You know, if it's after the fact, I got no sympathy for you whatsoever. But if it's beforehand, that's a different deal. So if you were living there before O'Hare, my heart goes out to you. If you moved there after O'Hare, well, guess what?
Well, I moved in like 26 years ago.
All right, well, that O'Hare was firmly in place and operating, and you should have known.
Well, I did, but then they were talking about Pietro, so I thought, well, that's the other option. And I used to go to the meetings that the village had set up for talking to the people at O'Hare and all the planning that they were having. So I got a chance to, to tell them about how when the planes go over so low, they almost hit my apple tree.
Right, but that's the flight path, of course. But if that was there first, you don't have any room to complain. You know it.
Yeah, well, I didn't know when I bought this place, it was like that. They didn't inform me about the flooding either. They didn't inform me about so many things when I moved in here.
And, it's unfortunate, but sadly, doing that kind of research is almost imperative. And if you did a lot of research and some inspector certified it as not being a problem, you would have recourse. But if you didn't on your own do that kind of research, you're stuck.
Yeah.
But I don't have too much sympathy. O'Hare was there, and you moved there.
I sure did.
Yep.
Well, I've got a few requests, too.
Okay, let's talk about that. What do you want to hear?
Well, I like Roberta Flack.
All right.
Anything that she has. And then there was something I heard. See, I have this horrible problem of insomnia. I'm awake all night long.
Yeah.
I just cannot sleep. So I keep the radio on. I get one station after the other. Yeah. And somewhere along the line, I heard something called I'm Walking Behind You.
Okay.
And I liked that song. I don't know who was singing it or anything, but that was a good one. And then You Don't Know Me.
Oh, sure. There's so many versions of that. That's a wonderful, wonderful song. And, I'm Walking Behind You, actually. I mean, I'm kind of grimacing, but I'll be happy to do it. That was an Eddie Fisher record.
I like Frank Sinatra.
Oh,
I like
me too.
Nat King Cole.
Yes.
I like Nat King Cole.
Yeah, I played some of him last night. Absolutely. And the King Cole Trio, of course.
Yeah.
So, after I'm Walking Behind You, you mentioned, You Don't Know Me. That's the one you picked out. Do you have a favorite version?
No, not really.
Okay.
I lay there in bed and listen, and then I kind of drift a little bit, and then I listen some more, and...
Well, so let me ask you, that's interesting that you hear number one records by Eddie Fisher and also things like You Don't Know Me. What are you listening to?
I don't know. Well, sometimes I get Toronto, but I'm having a lot of difficulty.
Okay.
Even though I've got the
AM7.
I've got that great little radio.
Yeah.
I'm still having some trouble lately in getting Toronto.
S740, that AM.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why, because I used to get it real well. Nice and clear through the night.
There's probably a lot of reasons for that interference. I'll have to look that up and also to see if they varied anything in their pattern. But Eddie Arnold wrote You Don't Know Me, so maybe we'll play the original. I don't know.
And then the other place that plays music all day long is a place in Indiana. What do they call it? LaPorte, Chicago, Indiana. But I don't remember the call numbers.
Okay.
They play music all on the weekend.
Okay.
All day Saturday and all even in the evening and all.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what kind of music is it?
It's all kinds of music, but a lot of stuff that I like. I mean, I like the old time
stuff. Yeah, absolutely. All right. Trying to think who would be in that format in LaPorte. I'm not sure, because it ain't WLOI. I don't know, or COE for that matter. I'll try and find it.
Yeah. So, yeah. But then, let's see, there was another one. Let's see here. What? I Don't Love You Anymore. Is that one? And Release Me. That was one I've heard before.
I Don't Love You Anymore. I'm trying to think of the context of that.
The Wonder of You.
Oh, sure.
The Wonder of You was another one.
Yeah. I Don't Love You Anymore. Now, the only one I can think of, I'm not sure they'd play it, would be Teddy Pendergrass, but I'm not sure. So there are other versions of it, I'm sure, but yeah, I knew Teddy Pendergrass, and the same thing. So after I Don't Love You Anymore, you gave me Release Me, and after that, what?
Let's see.
You just said it, and I forgot it already.
The Wonder of You.
Yeah, okay, okay. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
And you know, whatever happened to B.J. Thomas?
Was there
somebody B.J. Thomas? Because I had one time when I first started listening to you, I had, for some reason, he came up in the newspaper or something, and I was listening.
Well, he died.
I put a request in for him.
Yeah,
oh, he died. Okay.
He died in May of 2021. But he did a number of things, and then when country, originally things like Hooked on a Feeling and Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head, but then, hey, won't you play another Done Somebody Wrong song? That was big. And of course, you know, the Raindrops was I think, a Grammy winner. So, but no, he didn't make it, unfortunately. And yeah, that stuff that he did with Hey, Won't You Play Another Somebody Done Somebody Wrong song, that was with Larry Butler, who was a neighbor of mine in Nashville. I always had a good time with Larry. So yeah, he was around. He was originally from a place called Rosenberg, Texas. And I don't think he was born there, but that's where he went to high school. And he got involved with Roy Head, Treat Her Right, Roy Head. And then wound up in 66 on Scepter, he had I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry. And the Hank Williams song. And then did some other stuff that did absolutely nothing. And then Hooked on a Feeling, of course, did very well. So it was uphill from there. Did very well, and sadly,
go ahead and play whatever you can, and because I like all of those things, and
all right.
Yeah,
I will do it.
Thank you so much.
All right, thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
Okay. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye. You betcha. All right. So, yeah, he was doing very well. He was riding high, and then he got involved, as many people sadly do, with drugs and alcohol and all that. And then after that, found the Lord and did a lot of Christian stuff. So, unfortunately, what did him in was lung cancer, and John is looking at me.
They're in a break.
They're in a break. Oh, okay. So I'm talking to myself again. Yeah. It's happened. I knew it would come to this. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that is the first of Linda from Richlands Park six-pack. And yes, Quincy Jones with Ray Charles and Chaka Khan, 1989 on Q West Records. That'll be good to you. All right, indeed. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh. And that's going to take us to Carl in Riverside. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh, how you doing?
All right, so what did you think?
Yeah, I'm sorry, I should have known I wasn't able to tune in earlier, but John said that you had...
talked the first half hour about it.
Yeah, I knew I was going to miss something good.
Oh, that's all right. It's on the replay, of course. You know, you can always download that if you ever wanted to, but yeah.
Well, there we go. So anyway, that's that, and that's that, I guess, right?
Well, and as I say, I was very pleased. And again, I didn't know Karen, I didn't know O'Keefe, so it was nothing personal. I have no idea what really happened there, but it was 100% circumstantial, as you know, and she had so many power brokers against her on this. I'm not saying for sure she was framed, but there was a lot of very questionable behind-the-scenes dealing on that. So when she came out acquitted, I breathed a sigh of relief.
Yeah, and who knows what really happened?
Nobody.
A strange mystery. Maybe some way she was involved, but there's all this other stuff on the opposite side.
Right.
That was going on too. Right. It was very strange.
To me, it was the definition of reasonable doubt. It just was. There was nothing concrete there. And as I was saying earlier on the air, that witness who came up toward the end of the trial, who was one of the forensic guys talking about the holes in the back of his shirt. Could it be someone was pushed? And then it comes out, of course, that the holes came from a criminologist, and the judge had to order the jury to disregard anything else.
Well, all these strange coincidences, the house subsequently gets sold, the dog gets rehomed.
Right, right. And meanwhile, the plow driver, who's not really involved in any of this, said, I drove that beforehand and there was nobody. So
nobody is nobody.
Yeah, that's right. I ain't got nobody. Exactly. So, again, we don't know. We're not there. But to me, it was a reasonable doubt case. But there were so many heavy hitters who wanted to see her fry for this that I was just pleased she didn't.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you know that she had some medical issues? I didn't realize.
Yeah.
That.
Oh, yeah. A lot of them. Her background was interesting all the way around, but some of that came out. You know, she was an adjunct professor at Bentley, and she was an analyst for Fidelity. And she was no slouch as far as that goes. So, yeah.
I think John told me once in the past. This must have been some weeks ago. Number one, is Johnny Rivers, is he still alive, I assume?
I just did a thing on Johnny Rivers, and let me look it up. I'm going to have to do that because, I'm pretty sure he's still with us. Let me check.
I kind of liked him.
He'd be about 82, but I'm pretty, okay, good, yes, he's still alive, all right, yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, his heart was in the right place. He loved soul music. And in fact, he started a little record label in the 60s, Soul City, which is a great little label. And, and of course, got so lucky with Secret Agent Man, to say the least. But
John said that was a fave of yours. Is that correct?
No, it's not.
Okay.
But that's all right. But Soul City Records. That first Al Wilson record on Soul City was one of the best records ever. I'll be indebted to him for that alone. So you betcha.
Hey.
He's absolutely still with us. And of course, the most notable act on Soul City was the Fifth Dimension, you know, to say the least. And Liberty distributed them, but the first Al Wilson, Who Could Be Loving You, is one of the best unknown records of all time.
Mm-hmm.
I should play that if you haven't heard it. But of course, the later Al Wilson records were hits. But the first one, yeah, man, I was so impressed with that when that came out.
Hey, I hope you don't mind me asking, because you know what? Until you came to the Chicago market, so to speak, I really didn't know much of you, in all honesty. But your real first name is Rochelle, though? Is that
well,
correct?
Not exactly. Yeah, I've seen that online. No. Not exactly. But it's all a product of a fight. I was named after my father's sister, Raquel. And anyway, Raleigh was the final analysis. And it was used to be spelled with an I until they wanted to put me in Boy Scouts and all these boy things. So my mother said, let's feminize it. We'll make it a Y. And so they did, except she wasn't expecting the internet. Everybody wants to spell it R-O-L-L-E-Y rather than Y-E. But yeah, it's, you know, as far as that. But my original name, I didn't find out about that till I was 37 years old, because I was quote-unquote private adoption. They bought me. So that's how that happened. So, yeah.
Mamma mia.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Although, it's funny, before she died, I met my supposed birth mother. I say supposed because John and I met her, and we both looked at each other afterward and said, I don't think so, but who knows? Anyway, yeah.
You know what? Correct me if I'm right or wrong. This is in the past. Were you talking about, I don't know who else it could have been, of how somehow in the studio they made it sound with an artist that they were playing to a live audience, like in a nightclub or something? Was that?
No, I don't know, but a lot of stuff is done that way. A lot of albums that are supposedly live aren't.
One song comes to mind, and it's Johnny Rivers, which is...
yes, right, exactly. Probably Secret Agent Man, right?
Person or,
right. No, that was a studio creation.
It sounds so real, though.
Well, sure. Why wouldn't it? You know, you really want things to sound like that. It was originally created for the television show, Secret Agent. And then there were a couple other verses. And then there was a re-recording at the Whiskey a Go-Go. And, but it, that wasn't really... Lou Adler in the studio did a lot more with that. So, you know, the original version was actually for a British television show called Danger Man. And then they renamed that Secret Agent. And so they used that for the opening credits. He actually got that. And so the deal was Rivers went back into the studio to re-record it. And then they did the Whiskey a Go-Go thing, but they took it back into the studio and did the overdubs.
Hey, Raleigh, impressed me. Tell me who the actor was that played.
Oh, hell, I don't watch television. What would I know? I can tell you the song was written by P.F. Sloan and Steve Barry. Does that help? No. I've seen about 6 movies and probably all totaled entire lifetime, maybe 50 to 60 hours of television. Not more.
I'll give you a clue. He played the warden in the Escape from Alcatraz movie. Like, that would help.
Yeah, right, exactly. Escape from Alcatraz, that was movies?
Same guy.
Yeah, I've never heard of the movies as far as that goes. So
Patrick McGoohan.
Is that the guy? Wait a minute. Is that the guy? There's a series that John has. You know, he collects things like laser discs and all that. But anyway, is he the guy? I'm trying to think of what the name of it was. There's a British show. I'm trying to think of it. Maybe he'll tell me if he's listening. But I don't know if it's the same one. The Prisoner, I think it was called, the series.
Yeah, I believe he did that as well.
Yeah, The Prisoner. Yeah, I've walked by all of those from time to time. And we have every one of them, of course, don't you know? The Prisoner, if that's it. But that name sounds familiar
it
for
is.
That.
That's him, so, Patrick McGoohan.
Is that Patrick McGoohan from the... Is it The Prisoner?
It is.
Yeah, John's showing his, shaking his head saying, yes, that's the one. Right.
Yeah.
And so we have all of those.
Danger Man, Secret Man, Prisoner.
Okay, John says Danger Man, Secret Man, Prisoner. Secret Agent Man. He's got them all. Now, you can't possibly think I'm going to sit down and listen to them, but yeah, it says Patrick Joseph McGoohan, born in Astoria, Queens in 1928. How about that? But yeah, I remember The Prisoner, because that kind of looked interesting. And I thought to myself, if I ever have time, maybe I'd watch that, and then that was the end of it.
Well, you know what? The movie, which is probably from the early 70s with Clint Eastwood, he played one of the three guys who escaped from Alcatraz.
Oh.
But McGoohan was the warden.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, well, now I know who you're talking about because I remember The Prisoner. Like I say, it seemed like it'd be interesting. Maybe one day I'll see it. Not any day soon, mind you.
I'm gonna leave you with this, and I can't believe this, but apparently he's coming to town to the Chicago Theater.
Well, not Patrick McGoohan. He's been dead 20 years.
No, not Patrick McGoohan. What else was he in? He was in some, like...
He was in a lot of things. The guy was born in 1928. He was in tons of things. All right, so... Anyway, who's coming to Chicago?
Believe it or not, Cat Stevens.
Oh, okay. Is he back to being called Cat Stevens now?
Or some... he had some...
He changed his name to Yusuf Islam.
There you go. There you go. But anyway, he's coming to town. I couldn't believe it.
Well, why not? I guess he sold over 100 million records. I wouldn't buy one, but he has.
Yes.
You know, why not? Absolutely. He was living like in South America. I have no idea. Where is he now? Obviously, it's going to be a long trip if he's still in South America.
I don't know, but I guess his aunt had, what was his ancestral background? I think Greek. That's what comes to mind.
It would make sense because his middle name was Dimitri.
There you go.
Why do I know that? I don't know. Absolutely useless information. I think his last name was Giorgio. But Stephen Dimitri Giorgio, Cat Stevens.
Speaking of useless information.
Yeah, that's it. All right.
I think that's a line from the song, isn't it?
Yeah, well, there you have it. But I'm pretty sure he was born in London, I think. But he was living somewhere in South America, and he was married to somebody, I think, named like Fawzia Mubarak or something. I'm not making that up. Ooh. It's something close to that. I don't know. You'd have to look it up. So I don't know if it was Brazil. I can't remember exactly where he was, but he was elsewhere. Let's just say that. Elsewhere. All right. So I'll have to look at... Oh, actually, that's why they have an internet. Let's see. Where is Cat Stevens living now? All right, let's try that. He lives in Dubai. All right. Well, then again, it's an AI answer. So for all I know, he lives on Venus. I don't know. Dubai. When did he move to Dubai? Oh, okay. Yeah, he was living in Rio de Janeiro, which I knew actually. But then he moved to Dubai, where he currently resides. Oh man.
Okay,
all right. Well, there's a lot to do in Dubai. So if you want to do it. Okay, very good. How about that? So he's traveling from Dubai to O'Hare to bother Rita in Harwood Heights as he lands. Okay. Yeah. All right. So where will he be appearing in the Windy City?
You ever been to the Chicago Theater?
All right.
State Street, I guess.
All right. Okay.
At Great Street.
Well, that's good. So tickets are on sale now, are they? Okay.
I would think so. I haven't checked.
8 p.m. at the Chicago from $428, and this is on one of those. This is on one
Excuse
of these
me?
Discount sites. What? What?
With dynamic pricing? What?
I guess here's one. Vivid Seat says I might be able to get a seat as low as $394. Buy the record.
Oh,
be done with it.
What a bargain.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry. It's too rich for my blood. Here's another one from 402. Oh, well. So any of those numbers don't work for me. When I see three digits, I'm like, I'll just buy the song.
I'm sure you know this already, but they always say, and I've done this before, if you got the time and the wherewithal, you want to go directly to the box office. And then you can eliminate a lot of these fees, which are outlandish, after you start adding them all up.
I don't doubt it, but I'll stay home.
Yeah. You might be better off.
Yes, exactly. I'll be relaxing in air-conditioned luxury. I'll just listen to the records if I want to, and they won't be Cat Stevens records. All right. Well, but he's coming to Chicago on October 14th. So, hey, never hurts to plan early.
Why not?
I guess. All right. Good deal. Good to talk to you, Carl. Thank you.
I'll cut you loose, young lady. I kept thinking it's Thursday. It's only Wednesday, but nonetheless, have a good weekend, young lady.
Well, yes, but I'll be here 21 hours from now, so join me again, and thank you.
Yahoo.
All right, bye-bye. Good deal. So 888-876-5593, 888-88-RALEIGH. Oh, we'll get to Ruth and Gurney coming up, and I don't know if there's room for you or not, but again, if there's not, there'll always be room tomorrow night. 21 hours from now, we got 3 big hours with absolutely nothing to talk about on WGN Radio.
I couldn't sleep at all last night. The blankets on the floor. Turn my pillow upside down. I never did before. Because I was tossing and turning, turning and tossing, tossing and turning all night. Jumped out of bed, turned on the light. I pulled down the shade, went to the kitchen for a bite. Rolled up the shade, turned off the light. I jumped back into bed, it was the middle of the night. The clock downstairs was striking 4.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. 1961 on Beltone. What a good little label that was, and what a rich history, too. And that, of course, is Bobby Lewis, Indianapolis' own, don't you know, tossing and turning, that Richie Adams from the Fireflies wrote that. Yeah, all true. Okay, so let's see what we've got with Ruth in Gurnee. So, Ruth, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. It's amazing there's anything left over. Tubby should get a license plate. Tubby, a soul food restaurant, Tubby's, a drop-off laundry, Tubby's. I think her name is so unique, and it would lend itself so well. I'm wondering about the lady that called from Howard Heights.
Rita. That was Rita in Harwood Heights.
You asked for who the radio station was. The radio station is from Portage, Indiana.
Wait a minute. You're talking about that little AM 750? It's a daytimer? That NDZ?
I thought it comes on at all different hours of the day. It's easy listening, and it's definitely Portage, Indiana. And it's not the gala that Raleigh does with the doo-wop and the R&B. It's songs that we're really familiar with throughout, 50, 60, 70 years. But it's all easy listening, and it's great music, but it's not the gala like going to the doo-wop ball that you do with your selections, because the things that you do, we've never heard them before.
Well, the only thing I can think of on that Portage thing, there was a little AM daytimer, WNDZ, and it was on 750. They were on the air when, in the daytime hours, they were protecting WSB in Atlanta. They've had, like, the ownership du jour plan over the years. They debuted in 1987, and they've gone through half a dozen owners, maybe more. But they were brokered. Like, some hours it was foreign language, and some hours it was religion. And is you sure this is the station you're talking about?
Yeah, I've heard it many, many times.
And that's what it is?
And they constantly repeat it. And what I think it is it's all recorded and you don't get a DJ.
Oh, no, of course. It's people buying the time, but that's very interesting to me. I had no idea.
Well, the music is good. The music is really good. But you're not calling anyone and talking to anyone. They continually play the songs, and they're good. But it's not the same. What you do, because you're the gala, you're the Cinderella ball. Now, the other thing I wanted to mention was, license plates for Tubby for vanity license plate, and I'd like to see Mayor of Gurnee, Brother Hood, if he had his license plate, Gurnee's got it.
All right, well, good deal. You have just ended the show on Gurnee's Got It. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Bye.
All right. So tomorrow night, 21 hours from now, we'll do it all again. I got to find, because I can't imagine it's NDZ, but what else could it be? All right. So there's plenty to talk about, I'm sure. We have 21 hours to come up with it, too. And your requests. Until then, that's a wrap. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank you for calling. It makes my show easier to do. And you know I love easy. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.